when I'm left alone. I've always been an eagle, been a while since I have flown. My claws are sharp as ever, so my eagle eye. Something's gonna go to ground when the eagle flies. Lately I've heard rumors that the eagle may be lame. Just because I've been idle don't mean that I'm tame. You've jeopardized my freedom, my natural place to roam. I can fly when I have to. They've turned the eagle loose. So lay all your doubts aside when you go to bed tonight. My feathers are all ruffled now. I'm ready for a fight. While to fly, I don't mean I don't care. When you feel the shadow crossing, eagles in the air. So lay all your doubts aside when you go to bed tonight. My feathers are all ruffled now. I'm ready for a fight. I don't mean I don't care. When you feel the shadow crossing, the eagle's in the air. When you feel the shadow crossing, the eagle's in the air.
Yeah, watch out for that eagle, man. When you see the shadow flying, watch out for the eagle and the wolf. You know, both the eagle and the wolf were friends of Odin, yes. Now, don't get excited. I don't believe in spooks in the sky, but I believe in the tradition of Odin and all those people, all those demigods and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I respect the mystique and the fantasy, but don't ever tell anybody I believe in them literally, like the baby Jesus or anything like that, because that ain't true, man. That ain't true. This is Terrible Tommy right here in the bunker right here in North Central Indiana, where it is colder than a well digger's heel, man. Yeah, it's 29 degrees, but it seems like it's 10 below zero. The wind, boy, I'll tell you. They call the wind Mariah. It's cold enough that my bird herd is not out there eating up my bird seed. And my little black squirrel Freddy hasn't come down the fence to get his corn yet. So you know it must be cold. Don't start giving me hell about having a nigger squirrel, man. That's two different things. Yeah, man. He's black as hell, but he's cute as a monkey. Well, it's February the 7th. No. 11th, February 11th, Wotan's Day, David Lane's favorite day. Absolutely. We'll all remember David Lane. Like I said yesterday, I didn't agree with everything Dave Lane said, and he didn't agree with everything I said, but we were friends. Way back 10 years ago or 20 years ago, he said, well, we only got 10 years and it's the end of the white race. Well, that's not going to happen. Believe me, the white race is going to survive, and it's going to flourish. It's going to shuffle around and move to different places and pick up different tactics and all that kind of stuff. But the white race is not going to leave this Earth unless we go to Mars. Yeah, that'd be fun. My favorite spot in the whole wide universe is the constellation of Orion. Yeah, yeah. And when I leaves this Earth, you can make sure that once you get a rocket big enough, you come up there to Orion and visit me and all my buddies up there. I tune in to Coast, usually to see what the hell's going on. And they had a guy on there the other night. You really get some, what I would consider, truly whack jobs. You get some good stuff on there, and people have written good books and stuff. But this guy said in, 2075 that he went into the future because he fell off the ship in the Philadelphia experiment. He fell off the ship and ended up in 2079 or some shit. And he's saying out there they got skyscrapers that are floating. They're not attached to the earth. And they're 40 stories high. And he went on and on. He's written a book about it. So sometimes, I'm telling you, whatever there is to think about and imagine, there's somebody out there. It's usually a white guy, too. He's usually a white guy. Well, I'll tell you what, those pills that doctor told me to get for hurting in the arm, never want to take one of those again. That's why I couldn't do much on the show yesterday. I took one of those, and hell, I thought I was in la-la land. That's bad. It's got to be bad for you. Got to be bad for you. And certainly don't drive a car when you take one of those things, so I'm throwing those in a dumpster. I can take the pain a hell of a lot better than I can take a crazy-ass pill like that. Well, I don't know whether they're going to get this thing straightened out in the eastern Ukraine, because you got all these U.S. senators like asshole McCain. And I swear, the one they had in a prison camp in Vietnam, I believe they turned him. I believe they tortured him, turned him, and turned him into a, I can't remember it. Oh yeah, Manchurian candidate. I think he is, because everything he tries to do has to do with war. He's always for war. Let's drop bombs on everybody. Let's kill them all. Let's send boots on the ground. Oh yeah, and on he goes. That son of a bitch is a dangerous man. Him and, of course, Cheney and George Bush Jr., they're still lurking in the background. And then you got a whole bunch of crazy asses up there. All they think about is war. The Republican Party is really the war party. I mean, there's a lot of Democrats go along with them, but mostly it's driven from the property party, the Republican Party. And I can't understand why people can't catch on to that. You know, that these guys, they just want to tear up the world and bomb the shit out of people and take over and so forth. Now I see Yemen's up in order. I just finished watching a documentary on southern Yemen and their oil and all that. And that's all black down there. And then up north it's the Arabs. Well, now the Arabs have got a civil war going on again up there. They just can't get things together. So that's going to screw southern Yemen up from shipping their oil up through northern Yemen to the ships to get it out of there. So they're going to be starving by the thousands. And I'm telling you, it's, and then everywhere you go, they're tearing up the world. And then they blame white races. I mean, really, honest to goodness, white racial separatists for all kinds of things. You know, oh, there was a white separatist 5 years ago that shot a Negro. Or there was a guy that did this, did that. But they can't compare at all to the crimes of these people in the war party and their incestuous linking to the Jews. I mean, you know, there's a whole raft, I think about 100 of these politicians just went over to Israel, is what I heard, to kiss their ass, because they know, they may hate them, but they know the Christian Zionists in this country won't vote for them if they don't kiss Israel's ass. Get up there to that Wailing Wall and go down there to that Yashivim or whatever, the Holocaust Museum. Yeah, man. I mean, it's absolutely embarrassing how much the right-wing and Christian Zionists lick the ass of the Jews. But not all the Jews. They kiss the ass of the ones that they think that Christians ought to do that. Yeah, ought to do that. These Christian Zionists are dangerous. Be careful. And I'm not kidding. They go off half-cocked, and if you insult, you know, you can insult Muhammad and call him a son of a bitch, which he was, but don't you dare insult the baby Jesus, or they're liable to pull out a .357 Magnum and shoot your ass. So, you think I'm kidding? Huh, happens all the time. Insanity is insanity, pure and simple, and it's Christ insanity. And what are you going to do? I don't know what you're going to do, but stay away from them. If you're around them, like you have to be sometimes in business, watch them. Watch them that they don't have a flamethrower under their coat. You know, I like some of the progressives, how they wade into these hearings in Washington to raise hell. And they went in there yesterday and raised hell with this idiot head of the FCC, non-white, another one of Obama's appointees, trying to screw with the internet and the internet rules. And they get in there and yell and scream and unfold their banners and the whole bit, and that's good. I support that. Anytime anybody left, right, or center gets pissed and invades these damn hearings in Washington, D.C. on about anything, because almost everything they have hearings on is not good for us. Blast them, man. Let them yell at them, scream at them. And yesterday they did a good job. And about a week ago, these, I don't know, the pink something, that they raised hell. Where in the hell is the so-called right wing? Where in the hell are they at? They're always talking about going after these people, but they never have the balls to go after them in the right way, you know? Get up there and find out if you live in an area where you can get to Washington, D.C., get a few guys and or gals and get in there and let them know we're around, too. We agree with you left-wing progressives on some issues, yeah. You know, I watch quite a bit of news, but I don't watch it very long, especially this entertainment channel Fox. Boy, what a bunch of assholes they are. I'm down to where if I want to watch anything halfway serious, I watch Russia TV. Yeah, I do. Not that they're always right or anything like that, but it's the only place I can seem to get somewhat of the truth about different things happening in the Middle East and so forth. So I don't know whether you can get Russia TV, RT, and they have some really good shows on there. If you can get them on your cable, you better watch that instead of these other funky warmongering channels. And as far as the newscaster that got his ass in trouble, they say, well, it's too bad because he lied. Well, the corporate news media lie every day. So he got caught, and probably because somebody's out to burn him. But to put him up and torture him is ridiculous when you consider all the lies you get. And Al Sharpton, I think he's still on there on MSM, ah, shit. Anyhow, the liberal channel. If Al Sharpton could be on there, lying son of a bitch he is, persecuting this other guy's bullshit. As long as you understand that the network news is full of shit, who cares? He can lie all he wants to. He's just lying to the sheep. He's not lying to us because we don't believe him anyhow. Well, we got a nice letter from Zip 206. And that's the way I'm going to identify these things. I'm not going to get your names out there and addresses and all that. I simply go by email, but when they send me a letter, I'll just send you the last three digits of your zip. Here's another letter from the prisoner. But most of these prisoners are in the right wing or have been in the right wing, and they're still farting around with the Klan and so forth. This guy said, I'm a member of the Klan and would love to be put on your mailing list. Thank you. Please write back. Well, I will, but I'll straighten them out, this right-wing crap, and give them the right word. And either they start turning around and understand what the game is going on, or sayonara. if your zip is, the last three is 710, I got your missile. Yes, I did. Your snail mail. Got a nice letter from 550, and I'm going to put those paranoid newsletters together for you in a few days here, get them done, and send them to you. I do have most of the originals, and I will copy them off and send you some. All right, 550. Well, I see that under Muslim Lives Matter, Muslim civil rights leaders, there we go with that rights bullshit, want an investigation into the killer's motive based on the brutal nature of the crime, the past anti-religious statements of the alleged perpetrator, the religious attire of the two of the victims, and the rising anti-Muslim rhetoric in American society, because three young Muslims were shot to death, I guess. Yeah, were shot to death down in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Well, why aren't they just interested in arresting whoever did it? They want to, they're more interested in getting a political statement going here than catching the perpetrators, the way it looks to me. And you know what? I got $20 says they were blacks that killed them. Maybe not, but I'll bet you. The black Ku Klux Klan, they go after the Muslims too, because a good share of those people profess to be Christians, Christian Zionists. Well, Obamsky's in trouble again. He's got them all pissed off. Obama calls the kosher supermarket attack in France random. The White House and the State Department struggled to clarify the president's suggestion that the deadly shooting could have happened anywhere, despite the gunman's assertion that he targeted Jews. Gee, Obama, you're in deep shit now. Well, I see the statue of missionary Junipero Serra could get booted from the U.S. Capitol. Critics say the founder of the California mission system was part of an imperial conquest that beat and enslaved Native Americans. Well, I know that's true, because I lived out there. And there was one of the Sierra churches just down the road that had been there ever since he came up through there and established those churches. And I was there back in the 70s, and they had a jail there that was still there. They took it away now. You can't... They don't want you to see that they had this little jail that was like being in, you know, real small thing. And that's where they put the Indians. And they did enslave them. More under the secular Pio Pico Brothers system after the Catholics lost ground, the church. But they drove those Indians from Murrieta, California, where there was groves and farmland there. And they carried these heavy things on their back, and they used to walk all the way. It's about 30 miles from Murrieta to Oceanside, California. And I read all about that mission system. And they were enslaved. There's no doubt about that. So if they're upset about that, maybe they should take it out of the Capitol. I don't care what, but I know what I know for sure because I saw it in real life. But after the Pico brothers took over vast tracts in Southern California, they really got heavy on the Mongol Indians. I'm telling you, very brutal. Well, there's another crazy right-winger that thinks the world's coming to an end any day now. And he opened up a store to sell all kinds of survival stuff. Do you realize this has been going on for, seems like forever? I remember back in the late 60s when the Minutemen were fleeing the cities of California and going up to the mountains and dragging all kinds of weapons and survival stuff with them up there. And they just got old and died, waiting on this collapse that the Russians were coming and all that stuff. So watch it. Let's see what this guy's got to say.
Because you're not ready for when the apocalypse comes or when the grid goes down. But luckily, we have Homestead Survival Products here, where you can get all the tools you need to survive when all hell breaks loose.
How are you going to survive? What are you going to do? Unless you've got more than a week's supply of food, you know, what are you going to do? Just think about it. Millions of people. Because it isn't just a small area that's going down. The whole country will. And people are going to panic. First thing they're going to do is remember that they did think that things were going to collapse. So they're going to want to run to the store and buy stuff and start a program. It'll be too late to do that. And I hope I'm wrong. But I don't believe I am. And I'd never argue the point with people, but this is what the Lord has showed me, and I believe that it's right, and I hope and pray that it's wrong. This grinds up wheat, it grinds up corn, it grinds up beans, or any kind of grain at all, to where you can make cereal or you can make flour to cook with. It's incredible how a lot of people are talking in these books about the times coming, and this year being the year of Shemitah. So I don't know what to, I don't predict any times at all.
So this could be the year that the Shemitah hits the fan.
Yeah, when the Shemitah hits the fan, I'm ready. And I help other people to get ready.
And they make money at the same time, like that jerk off, what's his name? They're always selling survival food and everything like that. And he's obviously a Christian fanatic. Probably, I'm sure he's probably a Christian Zionist. And he's about 80 years old or so. And he's getting you ready, man. The Jesus is coming. You ain't got a chance unless you buy some of my stuff. Well, let me tell you something. Those that are strong and keep in shape, when that day comes, don't worry. You'll be able to get what you want because you're going to take it. Well, here's some other guys that unfortunately I couldn't get to, and it's too late now. Jackson, Mississippi, James Craig Anderson's partner, James Bradfield White, said the couple's young son sleeps in his bed now because he doesn't want those people to get me. In the victim impact statement, Bradfield, who was too emotional to speak, had a prosecutor read his statement, told Daryl Paul Deadman, John Aaron Rice, and Dylan Wade Butler that he hoped they'd never see the light of day again. There's no room on earth for people like you. Yeah. Of course, these are white men, and let's go from there. The trio were sentenced to federal prison on Tuesday as a result of Anderson's 2011 death, a hate crime in which he was beaten and run over by a truck because of the color of his skin. Well, it's not just the color of his skin, but this is ridiculous. This is such a waste of young white men. Because these are the kind that are on Stormfront all the time and VNN and all these kind of deals. The three pleaded guilty in March 2012 to one count of conspiracy and one count to commit a hate crime. U.S. District Judge Carlton Reeves sentenced Deadman to 50 years and 5 years to be served concurrently. Now, this is a federal deal, so they'll have to serve almost all of it, or maybe all of it. John Aaron Rice to 18 and a half years and 5 years to be served concurrently. And Dylan Wade Butler to 7 years and 5 years to be served concurrently. None of them are eligible for probation. You better watch out. Don't hurt a Negro, whatever you do, man. You can attack white guys all day long, and you might go to jail, but it won't be for too long. The judge said Deadman's federal sentence will run concurrent with his state sentence. Double jeopardy, of course. The three are part of a group of 10 young white people who have no all pleaded guilty to coming to Jackson, which they called Jaffrica, to harass and assault African Americans. I wonder whose bright idea that was. Anderson's sister, Barbara Anderson Young, gave an emotional statement in which she frequently looked straight at the defendants. "Surely the violence you committed will fall upon your own head," she said, adding that her brother lives on in me and our family. "He also lives in you, the last to see him alive on this earth." Butler wrote a letter to the family, part of which he read in court. He told the court about how he came from a mixed-race family with a black stepfather and stepsister and mixed-race cousins. Wow. "I wish every day I could take everything back, not for me, but for the man who lost his life," he said. "I never had a hatred for African Americans." So they kill a guy and run over him and back over him and everything else. Butler ended by saying that he took full responsibility for what he had done. His attorney, Abby Brunley, told the judge that in her time as an attorney, she'd never seen a defendant who so completely owned and so deeply regretted what he had done. So he comes from a mixed-race family with a black stepfather. While he may not have gotten out of the car or laid a hand on Mr. Anderson, he has continually wondered what he should have or could have done, she said. The person standing here today would have stopped that heinous act. Rice addressed the court as well, simply saying, "I'd like the family to know from the bottom of my heart that I wasn't raised racist. I'm very sorry from the bottom of my heart." Well, if you're not racist, and you weren't racist when you did it, what do you call racism? I mean, come on. Dedman turned to look at the family as he said, "I just want to say to the Anderson family again how truly sorry I am, that's all." Reeves told the defendants to sit down as he read a speech he had prepared before their sentencing. He talked about Mississippi's embattled past and how hate crimes through the years have included lynchings, among them hunts for African Americans. That's what the group was doing during their spree of hate crimes, and that's what they did to Anderson, he said. "Mississippi soil has been stained with the blood of black people who were killed as a result of hate." On June 26, 2011, 4 days short of his birthday, the blood of James Craig Anderson was added to the Mississippi soil. Well, that's enough of that. It's very sad. These look like three or four really good-looking white boys that probably were maneuvered into that shit by people who go on the internet and listen to this crap from Stormfront and VNN. "We got to get even. We got to do something." They're always saying, "What are you going to do, Metzger? What have you done?" Well, I sure as hell wouldn't tell you. No, 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 no. And there were a couple more here. There was a girl involved, Sarah Adelia Graves, who pleaded guilty in December, faces 5 years in prison on a conspiracy charge at sentencing April 9th. Shelby Brooke Richards, who pleaded guilty in December to conspiracy and concealing the crime by lying to police, faces 8 years in prison at sentencing on April the 16th. John Lewis Blalack, who pleaded guilty on January the 7th to two hate crimes charges, faces 20 years in prison at sentencing on April 23rd. Robert Henry Rice, who pleaded guilty on January 7th to one hate crime charge, faces 10 years in prison at sentencing on April 30th. So there you go. What a waste. What a waste. Just so they could get it over on one black guy. No matter how, what a rat he is, he wasn't worth all you people going to prison. Even if he was an excellent straight-A student, he wasn't worth all you guys going to prison. But it's too late now. You didn't listen to Terrible Tommy. This article came out of the Clarion Ledger, one of the most anti-white working man papers in the country. This is where a whole lot of anti-white stuff comes out from Jackson, Mississippi, the Clarion Ledger. I forget that bastard who has a column He's a writer for the Clarion Ledger, but he's been involved in screwing white working people for a long time and white separatists. Yep. I forget his name. I've got it written down here. I bet you alcohol was involved in this snipe hunt. Probably got drunk, jumped into a pickup truck, and said, let's go down there to Jackson and fuck him up. And probably grabbed the first black guy or ran over the first black guy they could see. But most of it was probably attributed to alcohol. Well, this is amazing. It's been a week since President Obama had the chutzpah to declare, after denouncing ISIL, a brutal, vicious death cult that, in the name of religion, carries out unspeakable acts of barbarism, which were promoted by the U.S. government, the Pentagon, because they created them ever since. There's been a domino effect ever since we invaded Iraq. And now they got all the weapons we've left off over there, and now we're saying how bad they are. As a card-carrying, if mostly non-practicing, medieval historian, I feel honor-bound to weigh in on the liberation of the Holy Land at the end of the 11th century. Let's begin with Thomas Madden in First Things, defending the Crusades. How can you defend the Crusades? They were nuts. See, that was after the Christian churches had caused millions of heathen to be killed in Europe, and then they turned their attention to freeing the Holy Land and the birthplace of the baby Jesus, which never happened. President Clinton, in the wake of 9/11, these military expeditions, writes Madden, met the criteria of medieval just war theory, intended as they were to stop Muslim aggression against Eastern Christianity. Well, I mean, you know, I'm not a big Muslim fan at all, because they're just as whacked out as the Christians. But the Crusades were not just wars, they were holy wars. And that is, you know, a just war is where you conquest somebody to take what they've got. So-called just war. It's just if you win. These holy wars are whacked out. They tore Europe apart with these holy wars. 100 Years' War, 20 Years' War, all the bullshit, and the Lutherans against the Catholics. I told you there's a great movie about that called, I believe, The Last Valley, with Omar Sharif and Michael Caine. And if you haven't watched that movie and seen how whacked out the Christian church turned the population of Europe into, to fratricide, you got to watch it. Okay, they were made holy not by their target, but by the crusader sacrifice. The crusade was a pilgrimage and thereby an act of penance. You want to get right with Jesus? We'll go down to the Middle East and kill a bunch of Muslims. That'll put you right. When Urban II called the First Crusade in 1095, he created a model that would be followed for centuries. Crusaders who undertook the burden with the right intention and after confessing their sins would receive a plenary indulgence. The indulgence was a recognition that they undertook these sacrifices for the baby Jesus, who was crucified again in the tribulations of his people. Christ insanity. Okay, then, let's stipulate that the crusaders, so-called because they wore a cross, were all about getting their sins remitted. Mythical sins. Now let's turn to the main Christian chronicler of the First Crusade, Fulcher of Chartres, who was an eyewitness to both Urban's initial summons and the capture of Jerusalem. Here's how he described the final battle. On top of Solomon's temple, to which they had climbed in fleeing, many were shot to death with arrows and cast down headlong from the roof, for in this temple about 10,000 were beheaded. If you had been there, your feet would have been stained up to the ankles with the blood of the slain. What more shall I tell? Not one of them was allowed to live. They did not spare the women and children. Well, it's possible, of course, that the blood was not actually ankle deep. Christians like to exaggerate. Jews exaggerate even more. It's even possible that Fulcher himself was less than enthused about this slaughter 1,000 years after the sacrifice had ceased at the Temple Mount. But the denouement, the reestablishment of Christian control over the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which was in Palestine, filled him with joy, quote, cleansed from the contagion of the heathen inhabiting it at one time or another, so long contaminated by their superstition, it was restored to its former rank by those believing and trusting in him. He writes, adding that what the Lord wished to be fulfilled, I believe, by his people so dear, will resound and continue in a memorial of all languages of the universe to the end of the ages, unquote. Well. You see, they call the Muslims heathen, and according to Christians, they are. So they didn't just kill millions of white heathen. They killed maybe millions of Muslim heathens, another whacked out religion. Having gained control of Jerusalem, the penitents set about the business of establishing, well, crusader states. Sounds like George Bush Jr. Occupy and cut up the land. Eventually, these would include territory not only in the Holy Land, but also on the Cyprus, in the Balkans, and in the Baltics, complete with feudal and canon law. Oh, not Sharia law, canon law. We might even want to call them the Christian state in Levant and elsewhere, CSLE. Let's just not get out your high horse about it. Wow. Well, there you go. So, everybody was jumping all over Obama, but technically he was correct. I mean, all these religions have been involved in mass killings and genocide, all three of the Abrahamic religions. And that's why they should be eliminated. But as long as you've got sheeple out there that'll believe about anything, believe in spooks in the sky, no matter which one of those religions they belong to, it's going to keep going. And they'll use religion as an excuse to do the killing. That goes on all the time. I mean, so what are you going to say? What are you going to do, man? They believe in spooks in the sky. We're the sane ones. We're very sane. And all the apologists come out of the woodwork. Here's one, a guy wrote in. This isn't Christianity you're talking about. It's Paulianity, as we owe to Paul the honor of utterly trashing the teachings of Jesus Christ about nonviolence and not serving killers in high office. Jesus went to his death, not refusing to obey established governmental authority, while Paul commands Christians to obey their governors or face God's condemnation to hell. Oh, we got somebody to blame it on there, Paul, who there is even question about whether he existed. But he was a Jew, there's no doubt about that. Of course, almost all the early Christians were Jews. Of course, a pope or king or president could then order up any Christian man to arms, and they all did and still do, continually breaking Jesus' teachings. Paulianity isn't Christianity, no matter how many believe Paul's words. The Crusades just show how easily it was and is for the heads of the state to order Christians into battle in the name of Jesus. And we can thank Paul for the bloody history of Pauline Christians in action in the world in the past, committing crimes against humanity quite similar to what these crazed Muhammadan idol worshippers are doing today. Well, there you go. Off the hook. Forget it. Forget all those millions of people that the church murdered. Now, it was Paul. And, well, if it was Paul, he was a Jew, so we got to blame the Jews for genocide, right? Yeah. But if I tell that guy that, he'll say, you're anti-Semitic. And I'll say, no, you're anti-Semitic. Here's another response. Great Schism, 1054. The new Roman Empire lost half of its wealth and territory. Of course, that's why we go to war. The First Crusade declared in 1095. Siege and sack of Constantinople, 1204. Part of the Fourth Crusade, the destruction of the old Roman Empire. Wow. Yeah, there you go. If you're still following a whacked-out religion, any of the three Abrahamic religions, believe me, save yourself a lot of trouble and get out of it. Well, I guess BB's still coming. Nitwit Yahoo. Coming to D.C. to talk to a joint session of Congress. They'll all be there, by God. Except Bernie Sanders said from Vermont that he wouldn't be there. There's a few that are going to buck the system. That's interesting because Bernie Sanders is a Jew, and he's a tame Jew as far as I'm concerned. His heart's in the right place, but he's not going to back old BB. Well, you know, some of these blacks don't look like they got enough brains to pound sand in a rat hole, but Georgia Congressman John Lewis does. He's going to boycott Nitwit's speech to Congress next month. So here's another one. Most of the Congressional Black Caucus will take a rain check when Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaks to Congress on March 3rd, Politico reported Wednesday. Of course, all the white guys, all the white Christian Zionists, they won't. They'll all be there kissing his ass. I must congratulate the blacks for having more brains than the whites on this one. Not only will the audience be mostly Republican, it also will be almost all white, but not our kind of white. Don't insult me. These people are not our kind of white. It pisses me off to be included with these guys. The CBC's only senator, Cory Booker of New Jersey, has not committed himself to stay away or attend the joint session where Netanyahu will speak. Remember, we've got $721 billion at least, invested in Israel since 1945 or 47. $721 billion, and I say it's probably double that from the money they snuck out and the nuclear weapons they got. Many black congressmen will stay away on an individual basis and not as a group protest by the CBC. Barbara Lee of California, Keith Ellison, a Muslim from Minnesota, and Donna Edwards of Maryland are among those said they will not attend the joint session of Congress when Nitwit speaks. Well, gee whiz. I'm going to have to reevaluate the intelligence of whites versus blacks. These guys are smarter than the average white Christian. CBC member Representative Maxine Waters of Maryland has co-signed a letter with Tennessee Democrat Representative Steve Cohen to call on House Speaker John Boehner to postpone the speech. To me, it is somewhat of an insult to the President of the United States, New York Representative Greg Meeks, a black Democrat, said earlier this week after leaving a White House meeting with President Barack Obama and Vice President Joe Biden, who plans to be out of the country while Nitwit speaks. He's going to get as far away as he can. Meeks added, "Barack Obama is my president. He's the nation's president. And it's clear, therefore, that I'm not going to be there. As a result of that, not as a result of the good people of Israel." The CBC's negative reaction, on the one hand, splits the traditional Jewish-black political alliance. That's a good sign. But on the other hand, is in line with the sentiments of the liberal American Jewish establishment that is critical of Boehner and of Netanyahu for scheduling the speech 2 weeks before Israeli elections. Nitwit has made it clear he will talk about the Iranian nuclear threat. We gotta bomb Iran, like McCain, that asshole, says. warmonger McCain, which President Obama insists is exaggerated and which he can contain through diplomacy and without stiffer economic sanctions. Well, I agree with the president on that. Black congressmen can easily rely on Jewish groups to back their boycott position. Well, Anti-Defamation League ADL director Abraham the Fox has called Netanyahu's scheduled speech a tragedy, and even the conservative AIPAC lobby has been strangely silent. Well, it's interesting. Well, whatever tears up the territory is fine with me, as long as it causes dissension into Washington. You know what I get sick and tired of is these so-called aid workers and so forth going all over the world, and then they get killed because they're right in a war zone. And a lot of them are CIA people anyhow, traveling under false flags of being into things, you know. Anyhow, every time this happens, these aid workers, and how come these aid workers have to go around the other side of the world to do good? They could go into all these, every major city in the United States and even the countryside in West Virginia need aid. Why in the hell do they have to go overseas? You know why it is. They want to put that in their hat. They want to put a feather in their hat. Oh, I went over to Africa and took care of the niggers. I wiped their bottoms and the whole bit, you know. Instead of saying, I went to Chicago and wiped the ass of a Negro. Oh, I don't shed one tear. Don't feel bad at all. I didn't do it. That girl was in the middle of a war zone, and she's stupid. That was like that girl down in Israel a few years ago that's laid down in front of a tank, and the tank ran over her. There's nothing you can do for idiots like that. Well, I see on the internet here the Swedes, anti-Jewish Swedes are getting going here. They got a big sign, a great big sign marching around, God bless Hitler. Jeez. Okay, let me see what that's all about. If anyone had thought that the slaughter of four Jews in a Paris supermarket for the reason that they were Jews would have caused the Swedish mainstream press and government to explain who is behind Europe's growing anti-Jewism and anti-Jewish violence, he would be sadly mistaken. With the exception of one television program, the connection between anti-Semitism, Islam and Muslim mass immigration remains a mental no-go area in Sweden. This is the result of all the liberals who want to bring everybody into your country. They want to bring all the Muslims into Europe to sort of water down the white influence. And now they're stuck on the petard, man. Now they're getting killed. Swedes now tend to view all immigrants as victims of totalitarianism. And most of the country has never realized that one minority group may expose another minority group to violence and intimidation. Well, I guess that's because you're stupid. They refuse to acknowledge that not all immigrants or racial invaders think like Swedes and cannot comprehend that people would flee if they were not hated and threatened. Hated and threatened where? In the Middle East, yeah, Muslims hate Muslims. They kill each other all the time. Sweden's history, when it comes to Jews, is not a pretty one. It was not until 1870 that Jews were permitted to settle wherever they wanted in the country. Sweden was behind the proposal to stamp a big J on passports of German Jews to prevent Jewish refugees from Nazi Germany from entering. And now, Swedish authorities close their eyes to the new Jew hatred that is imported in the wake of Muslim immigration. See, Jews cause your own problems. Now you got to live with it. Unfortunately, one of the worst offenders trying to hide the truth is a Jewish organization, the Swedish Committee Against Anti-Semitism, or Anti-Jewism. What seems to have upset supporters of the SKMA was a comparison of them to the organization of German nationalist Jews, who in the 30s supported Hitler and claimed that Jews were treated fairly in Germany. In 1943, when it became clear that Hitler would lose the war, Sweden hurried to restore some of its reputation. In Nazi-occupied Denmark, about 8,000 Jews had escaped deportation to Nazi concentration camps because they were under the protection of the Danish government, the king, and were never forced to wear the Yellow Star of David. Well, why should be ashamed? Why should you be ashamed to identify yourself as a Jew? You should be proud. That Star of David should be proud. Unless you're trying to hide among the non-Jews. But on August 23, 1943, all cooperation between the Danish government and the occupation authorities broke down. The government resigned and the Germans imposed a state of emergency. The Danish resistance got wind that the Germans planned to round up all 8,000 Danish Jews in the night between October 1st and 2nd, 1943, to deport them to German camps. In no time, the resistance, with the aid of a great many civilians, managed to thwart the operation. Fishing boats were mobilized to smuggle more than 7,000 Jews to Sweden. The Danish Jews and a number of Danish resistance fighters were housed in Swedish boarding houses, youth hostels, hotels, and private homes. After the war's end, most of the Jews in Sweden returned to Denmark, but Sweden's self-image was forever changed. Finally, Sweden had something to be proud of after its highly dubious behavior at the time when it appeared that Hitler was on a winning streak. Yeah. If Hitler would have won that war, and if they really wanted to kill all the Jews, these people would have stood by and let him kill them. The financial people would let him kill them. I mean, you know, I know the Jews are right about the hypocrisy, but they're, of course, guilty of many crimes against the Aryan people. And they got payback. Unfortunately, the Swedes drew an erroneous conclusion from their rescue of the Jews. Many Swedes are now firmly convinced that everyone seeking shelter in Sweden is in the same desperate predicament as the Jews were in 43. One reason Swedes are more welcoming to asylum seekers than the inhabitants of most other European countries is that they are distancing themselves from their despicable treatment of Jews before World War II and until 1943. I knew those Swedes were no good. They got blonde hair. Got to get rid of them. But this is precisely what has paved the way for a new Jew hatred in Sweden. Swedes know nothing of the Jew hatred in the Quran and in the Hadith, so they just don't understand why Muslims attack Jews. The Swedish media seldom writes about the attacks, which Swedes will believe have something to do with the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. Wow, let's see what else is in that article. Here we go. That's a pretty decent article. And since the affluent, influential Jewish organization SKMA keep saying that Jew hatred and Islamophobia are birds of a feather, why should the ordinary Swedes think anything else? Malmo is Sweden's third largest city and probably the greatest proportion of Muslims. It is normally assumed that approximately one-third of Malmo's 300,000 inhabitants have a foreign background and that their number is steadily increasing. Wow. There goes a white city. Currently, most refugees come from Syria and Somalia. Oh, Somalia is really bad, and most are Muslims. For many years, Malmo's Jews have reported a growing number of hate crimes against their synagogue and themselves. But nobody has taken their complaints seriously. Huh. I thought everybody loved the Jews. Eventually, a journalist by the name of Andreas Loven from the local newspaper Skanska Dagbladet wrote in a series of articles that Jew hatred was causing more and more Jews to move there to other Swedish cities or to Israel. Well, what's wrong? I thought that's what Israel was all about. For the first time, it was openly said who was behind the anti-Judaism, the city's Muslim population, man. Many Jews told the paper that they dared not let their children grow up in Malmo, the town where on January 25, 2009, a Muslim mob was allowed to pelt a peaceful Jew demonstration in support of Israel with bottles, eggs, and smoke bombs. They even brought a couple of tanks up from Terrible Tommy's Terrible Munitions Factory. Shut up, Metzger. Instead of breaking up the anti-Israel demonstration, which took place without a police permission, and which seriously threatened the Jews and the Friends of Israel assembled at Malmo's Great Square, the police chose to revoke the Jews' right to assemble. You're a troublemaker, Jaime. Don't you dare give these people from the Middle East trouble. Not one of the many complaints to the police by the city's Jews has led to indictments, not to speak of convictions. Well, now that the Muslims have power and voting power in a whole bit, and the Jews don't have much, what do you think they're going to do? Eventually, the situation got so bad that on April 2012, President Barack Obama sent his special envoy and head of the office to monitor and combat anti-Judaism, Hannah Rosenthal, to Malmo to read a riot act to Mayor Ilmar Rapala. In other words, the United States is strong-arming the mayor of the city. I mean, the blatant hypocrisy and chutzpah, as the Jews would say, of these American politicians. One of these days, they're just going to turn around and start knocking them off when they come over there. She pointed out that the problem is not only the many hate attacks on Jews, but also the fact that the mayor has exacerbated the situation by statements such as, Jews have themselves to blame as long as they don't distance themselves from Israel's abuse of the Palestinians. That's certainly a good cover. I think he was a guard at Auschwitz. Last month, Swedish television aired a program of Jew hatred in Malmo, which clearly documented that the hate emanates from the city's Muslim population. Those damn raggedheads are doing it. The reporter had donned a Jewish skull cap and a Star of David and went around town to see what would happen. He was last seen being thrown in the river. He was immediately met with verbal abuse and was spat on, which luckily he wasn't killed. That was a stupid thing to do. A later program dealt with the claim of anti-Muslim hatred in Sweden. A female reporter walked the streets of Södertag with a veil. Most of the town's immigrants are Christian Syrians and Assyrians, with Muslims in a clear minority. And she was not arrested or accosted a single time. So far, the team behind the program has been unable to motivate other mainstream media to look into Muslim Jew hatred. It simply does not fit into their picture that all immigrants and non-white invaders are victims. The SKMA, Swedish Committee Against Anti-Jewism, equates Jew hatred with hatred of Muslims. Wait a minute. And attacks everyone who will speak out about the true genesis of Swedish anti-Semitism. The SKMA refuses to talk about Muslim Jew hatred and gladly walks side by side with imams to protest against growing exophobia. Whether they do this out of fear of the growing Muslim population or from sheer ignorance is hard to tell. The question is how Swedish Jews will fare in an increasingly Islamic Sweden, when not even their own organizations will point out where the Jew hatred comes from, but would rather attack Swedes who speak the truth about why Sweden went from a safe haven for Jews to a country where Jews are fleeing from. As long as the SKMA refuses to acknowledge that the vast majority of Swedish Jew hatred comes from the raghead immigrants, How can one expect ordinary Swedes to understand what kind of threat the Islamization of Sweden is to all of us who live here? So you see how this works out? You see how it works out? All this shoving people together, different religions, different races, all coming, pushing together, mostly different races. How it tears the country apart, and the whites are not really doing much. I know there's some white pro-racist people up there, but I don't think they're doing that much in Sweden. So the way it looks, the Jews are going to get out of Sweden, and then the Muslims are going to take over the country. So North Africa is replacing white Europe. Just like the book said, you know, that what was it, the name of the book? Well, white people have been warned. They've been warned over and over, and one of the better books on that is The Camp of the Saints. If you haven't read it, it's a fictionalized version of now what has totally come to pass. Camp of the Saints. That was written 30 years ago.